Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Everyone speaks. We're here for another segment of bringing you information that's vital to your survival and security. the title for the show is Why It's So Important for Your Enemy to Teach Your Children. And we're talking about economics. I might even talk about a little gold here a little bit, you know. So right now we're going to start off with just our main thing that we say every Sunday. We talk about love, you know. Just remember that love is the act that makes others feel good. If it don't make the other person feel good, don't commit the act. That way you're getting into love based on our culture, read what you sell, you know. And it's so important to know what love is. That's part of the problem that we have in our community. And we don't actually know what love is. So we have to get into what love is, because this culture don't teach us what love is, because they want us all spooky-eyed and mystified. And if they can take advantage of you, thinking that if you don't buy a diamond, you don't buy them diamonds, you know, you don't get them kisses, you know what I mean? And so what they teach that love is something totally unrelated to what love really is. And that's why the divorce rates are so high in the church and out of the church, because the churches don't teach what love is either, you know. Like some people say, treat me the way you want to be treated. No. Treat me the way one of the holy people wanted us to treat each other. You know what I mean? I don't care if Jesus, Muhammad, Buddha, Hare Krishna, they all come through with the same love, teaching love for one another, you know? Because some people hate themselves, and I don't want them to treat me the way they treat themselves. Boy, oh my goodness. So we need some better examples of how to treat each other and how to take care of each other, you know. And in most of the holy books, they have pretty good examples of how to treat each other. Then it also depends on who's explaining the books to you, so it's better to read them for yourself, you know. That's my thought on the subject. And just remember that love is an act that makes others feel good. Sometimes you have to do things to satisfy the other person to make them feel good, but a lot of times it won't always make you feel good, you know, because sometimes you might have to go out of your way to do something just to please or to help a person out, you know. And they're supposed to do the same thing for you, see, based on the culture we worship. So, but we're not living in our culture, you know. So we live in our culture, we worship. So, somebody shoot one of our children out there. If I'm saying that when I'm cops, shoot one of our children, I'm just going to lay it out here. We don't go after him, we go after his children. And then they say, well, that's an eye for an eye. Yeah, when I'm already blind, the fighting stops. Blind people don't be out there fighting and cussing with one another. So I'm just saying, you know, that's why they don't want us under our culture, because a lot of stuff that's going down in this society, if we was under our culture, we weren't yourself, it wouldn't be going down like that, you know, because people have to pay the price for what they'd be doing, you know. And they say, vengeance belongs to God, but in the Bible it tells you that you're God. So somebody roll up on you and don't do right, you got the, you know, you do have the ability to get back at them for what they did to you, you know. That's another reason why they don't want us under our cross to read what you saw, because they'd have to pay for these crimes. And they're committing crimes all over the world, robbing, stealing, murdering, what's going on in Yemen and so many other places, you know. Just wanted to lay that out there. So they're scared that we get back into our culture and be what you saw, you know. And if that was the case, none of us, the jails would be empty, because we wouldn't be stealing and all that kind of stuff and committing, breaking the rules that don't actually break our religious our religious vows, if we were into religion. But I used to say there was no such thing as religion, but now that I know what religion is, I have to retract my statement, because religion is actually realigning yourself with source energy. Well, I don't want to get off the topic here, but that's a whole other show. So we're going to stick to the topic, so we're going to go right back into why is it so important for your enemy to teach your children. Oh, my goodness. I was watching a movie the other day, and it was about a boy who was taken by, the lion killed, but the tiger killed his mother and father, and they left him in the jungle. And the little boy and the Black Panther, not the Black Panther group, but a Black Panther, took the little child over to the wolves. And the wolves raised the child. And the child, he ran with the wolves. They were here to do fought like the wolves, ate raw meat, hunt, killed like the wolves, because he was raised by the wolves. Now, he had a chance to go amongst his people, and he was like, totally thrown off. He couldn't talk to him. He didn't know what to say. He didn't understand what was going on. So if your enemy raised your child, they're not going to raise your child to do what's best for you. They're going to raise your child to do what's best for them. That's why they're trying to get their hands on your child. They're fighting the Christians, so-called Christians. They're fighting the Muslims over there. And the main thing they want to do, the army, they want to get their hands on the children. They want to take over the schools so they can train the children in their image and what they're trying and what the type of mindset that they want the children to have, so that the children can follow along with what they're trying to do, you know. I think that's mentioned in the Bible under Matthew 19:14. So suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Now, the kingdom of heaven is within you. Now, that's what the book said. The kingdom of heaven is within you. And if the kingdom of heaven is within you and you can't get the teachings to take you into heaven, you know what I mean? And you're going to be in trouble. And if you remember when they tried to teach the spiritual teachings of Yahshua, whom we call Jesus, they were persecuted, because each culture has their own methodology of manipulating the spiritual aspirations of the people. And you'd be amazed at what people do in the name of God. I mean, they just use that term. Well, the 1%, they know who God is, and they know who God is because when they look in the mirror, that's what they're seeing. So when something has to be done, they get up and get it done. We're talking about, it's like we talk about Monsanto all the time, but Monsanto is feeding millions of people, and we can barely feed ourselves, you know. We don't have gardens and stuff that we're growing, particular food, our bionic space and all that, but we can develop enough food just to feed ourselves for 1 year. We have to go to the store. We have to buy the food from the people who knows that God's responsibility is every man, woman, and child on the planet. And they set up to do that, to feed you, to care you, to globally manage the entire planet and what's going on, because that's God's job. So if you knew that you are God, which all the books tell you that you're God, that's almost like a broken record. And books, there's all of them tell you that you're God, whether you're reaching Arvina or whatever they're talking about, you know. And once you step up into that mindset, the responsibility, not only of the planet, everything out there, becomes your responsibility. So there's another reason why they don't want you to step up, because you're used to somebody else being responsible for you. That's just how this culture is set up. To those who have a God above them that does things for them, and they can do all those things for themselves, because basically you're carrying power. You have the power within you to do whatever you need to do. But somebody has to help you realize it. It's like I think Brother Matt mentioned that last week about the little ugly duckling. by the little duck that was following the swan. It wasn't a duck, but it was a chicken hawk that was following the swans around. That was a ridiculous story, but this was about the chicken who was scratching in the dirt. And he was actually eagle. He was scratching in the dirt because he was raised by chickens. So he ran around thinking he had chickens. But he had the ability to soar through the skies and do whatever he wants. So whoever's raising you are putting a mindset in you to follow a certain pattern or path, whether they either take advantage of you or whatever they're trying to do. But it's very important. The enemy knows how important it is to get the minds of the children, because that's the future. Your children are your future. And in the communities where we have a God outside of ourselves sitting up in the throne watching over us, that's what they teach. Now, don't get mad at me. That's not what I'm teaching. But that's what they teach. When you have that kind of God, then the mindset that you grow up under is that somebody is going to do it for you. And that's the mindset that the 1% wants you to have, because they want to do it for you. And you know they're not doing it for you for free. Come on, if they're doing it for you, they're getting paid ungodly, you know. You're paying them to do it for you. And don't think it's cheaper to go down to Mickey D's and eat them little burgers and stuff. It costs more to eat like that than it do to go to the store and go home and cook. Let's say you spend $10 a day at Mickey D's and little eating that cancer. Well, I don't say it like that. That's basically what you're doing. Get out of Mickey D's, and that's $300 a month. Do you know what type of food you can go to the supermarket and buy for $300? I mean, you got a whole bunch of food and vegetables and everything, but you just have to cook it and prepare it yourself. So they're not actually saving you money. If you got two people, that's $600 a month. If you feed a family of three running back and forth to McDonald's every day, that's $900 a month. You know what I'm saying? Do you know what kind of vegetables and foods you can get for $900 a month? So don't think that food is cheap. It's not cheap, you know. If somebody's doing something for you, trust me, they're getting paid to do it for you, you know. I mean, the guy that runs McDonald's, he's one of the most rich people on the planet. Owns more real estate than anybody. You understand? Why? Because he's doing something for you. And if they do it for you, they get paid. That's how the 1% rule. And they want that mindset in you. They want you thinking like that. You know what I'm saying? Now, this also leads us into economics, which is the topic for today. I have to apologize. I missed Brother Mac's show, fell asleep again. He was talking about economics on his show. So I like to plug in the Brother Mac because he's, you know, he keeps us sort of grounded. You know, we get half-looting. We go all up in the space and Mars and Jupiter, everybody else. Talking about every doggone thing. But he sort of keeps us grounded, brings us back to reality. Listen, lady, you live here. What's going on with Venus and Mars? But you live right here. You've been here all the damn time. You've been here before everybody. You know. So that's what I like. I like tuning into this show. But I don't want to get off topic here. But the whole thing is why it's so important for your enemy to teach your children. Now, if it's important for your enemy to teach your children, that means it's important for you to teach your children. Because you can teach your child to soar like an eagle or scratch in the dirt like a chicken. You know what I mean? And you don't want your children scratching and plucking like a chicken because they're wild in jail, looking for somebody to do something for, you know. Some of the children, if they go to jail for a couple of years and get out, they break the law right away, quick as they can, so they can get back in jail as safe as possible. Because when they get out here, they say, oh, man, it's hard out here. Ain't nobody doing nothing for me out here. I'd rather go back to jail. Guaranteed 3 meals, a place to stay. You know, better than sleeping on the street. You got people out here sleeping on the street. All they got to do is throw a brick through the window, and they got 3 hots and a cot. You know what I mean? So it gets a little, everything comes down to the thought process and what thought process you're being given. If you're being trained to be our king, a god, a queen, a princess, or a carpenter, electrician, or whatever that your parents is pushing you towards. You know, you might not seem like you're pushing your children towards something, but your actions are pushing your children towards something. And you'll find that most of the children that you have are leaning towards one parent or the other. Either one child is a go-getter, if the parents are a go-getter, and if one parent's not a go-getter, then you have some children that are not go-getters and some children are go-getters. They split between the parents because they're following their God. You know, understand what I'm saying? They are an extension of you, just like you are an extension of Source Energy. And when they look at you, I mean, they look at their, there's nothing greater in their mind when they're growing up. You play with them, you talk to them, you teach them, feed them, clothe them. I mean, that's God. What more can God do? So subconsciously, whether they admit it or not, they're following in your footsteps. They're following the path that you laid down for them. So you need to think about your actions, what you do, how you do it when you're dealing with your little ones. And your children, I'm going to say this because some parents are based on this cause of throwing their children to the curb. Your children are supposed to be monitored by you as long as you're alive. I'm going to say that again. You didn't hear that. You need to be on your own, boy. Get out of the house. Your children need to be monitored by you as long as you're alive, okay? Because they are extensions of yourself, and then the children become extensions of you and them. And it depends on where you're trying to push your children to. What do you want for your next 10 generations? Are you making money for the next 10 generations, or are you following this culture where you make a few dollars, lay down, and retire, and the children on their own? Some children got to struggle and go through this all the problems and the hardships that we went through because of the culture and the way we were raised. We make enough money to retire on and say, hey, they got to do it the way I got it. They got to go out and struggle like I got to struggle. But that's not how it's supposed to work. This generation is supposed to stand on the shoulders of the generation that just passed. And if you're drowning, if you're so far underwater, your children stand on your shoulders, they be drowning too because you're so far underwater. Everybody trying to build up off you and drowning because you're drowning. You follow what I'm saying? So you have to upgrade your thought process. You have to upgrade your mindset. This is a generational thing. It's not just my generation, and I did mine, and now you got to do yours. No, you do yours so that the next generation don't have to do things the way you did them, or as hard as you did them. Do you have money for your children to go to college, or they got to go for all that madness that they went through? When you was trying to get up to go to college, you're trying to work, feed yourself, go to school, oh, man, it was a trip. That's why so many children are falling through the cracks. Because the parents don't know what their role is. They don't know what they're supposed to be doing. Now, since we're talking about economics, let me drop the, let me actually go into economics a little bit. I'm trying to keep track of the time here so I can run my commercial. I'm supposed to, and I get carried away sometimes. Well, now, every time I talk about economics, okay, I'll talk about the same thing. We're talking about how to get out of this mess with no money. Well, you have to get money. You can't get out with no money. But how do you get the money to get out of this mess if you don't have anything? First of all, what the parents need to do is teach their children about the 50% budget. Why spend half, save half. When your child get out of school, right? Don't teach them to go after the name brand stuff and all those things that the culture is pushing them towards so they can get paid and send their children to Harvard where your child can barely have a book and book bag to go to school. Teach your children when they get out of school. to work two jobs. Don't matter what the job is, because he ain't trying to make a career out of Mickey D's and I can't think of the other fast food places, they're not on Grotto, Chick-fil-A's or whatever those places are. You can't make a career, you don't want to make a career out of those places. But you can work two jobs. If you do them properly, you can work two jobs. Each job gives you a couple of days off. Then there's 4 days a week that you'll be working a single shift. 3 days a week, you'll be working a double shift. You only have to work a double shift 3 days a week, but you don't get no days off. You do this for 2 years, right? Stay at home. Don't be in a hurry to get out of the house. And parents, please, don't be in a hurry to push the children out of the house. That's how the culture works. Well, I'd be glad when you get up. You watch Bill Cosby, right? He couldn't wait for his children to get out of the house. He pushed his children out of the house. But he wasn't giving them the information to make their careers or lives better because of the way he was brought up, the way he was taught. See what I'm saying? So you let the children, they get if they work the two jobs, stay at home. Most places pay $10,000 a year. That's about $10, $11 an hour. You live off one, save the other for 2 years. Okay? That'll give you $20,000. Sure sale, foreclosure. Don't go to the real estate. Sure sale, foreclosure. Okay? Sometimes you can do Fannie Mae and Fannie Mac, but it gets a little more expensive when you go that way. And then, you know, your credit scores and all that stuff come into play. And, we all know about those credit scores. That's just a way to control you economically. That's just what they're doing. That's all they're doing, okay? So you want to duck all that madness. And you go, sure, sale, foreclosure, bid on one little house. You can get a house for $6,000, $7,000. You bid on them $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, get your little two or three-story property. And you funk the basement and the first floor out. That's like having a two-story house. You funk the basement first floor out, and that's where you live. The second and third floor, that's what you rent out. You rent out $500. You can get $500 a month for a fourth floor, and that'll give you $1,000 a month. You got $1,000 a month coming in, and whatever it is on mortgage, right, all you got to do is pay electric, gas, and phone bill. So you're paying that out for $1,000 a month. Now you're still saving money. You get a couple more of those. You see what I'm saying? And before you know it, you're making enough money where you don't have to have the two jobs. Your real estate income will give you enough where you can drop one of the jobs, and you're still going on. Now you keep the process going until, and guess what? You don't have to work for these people at all. See what I'm saying? Because now you have economics. Now, what is economics? Oh, boy. They got us with that. Microeconomics, macroeconomics. Look, it's pretty simple. Economics is somebody else working and paying you. If you don't have somebody working and paying you money, you don't have economics. What you have is a job. I don't care what it is. It's a job. Trust me. Real estate, people are working and paying you rent, okay? You can take your money, put your money in the stock market or whatever, or start as gambling. You better know what you're doing when you're going into that snake pit, boy, I'm telling you. So, but you can put your money in and stuff. Your money can work and pay you. You don't always have to work. See, when you're getting enough money, you can put your money to work. In fact, I signed on to a thing a couple months ago called Carry Bars, okay, where you can invest in gold and stuff like that there. And believe it or not, I'm already making money with it. If I keep it going, and in a little no time, I'll be a millionaire. That's how it works. So there are other ways you can get the money. You can write poetry, write a book, make records. There's a lot of things you can do that can get that residual income that once you make it, it will keep making money without you having to make it over and over again. But I think that the fastest and the most secure way is through the real estate, you know, because if something goes wrong, you buy a few properties and something goes wrong, you can always flip a couple of properties and get some money out. So that you can do some other things if you make some mistakes, you know. So my suggestion is the real estate first. Think about the real estate first, And then you can get into all the other stuff, you know, with the coins and the market and the gold and precious metals and all the other stuff that you're trying to get into, you know. But don't focus on the dollar, because the dollar is nothing but debt. Right now, everybody's running towards the goal, and I think that's where we should be headed. We should be headed towards some kind of goal, a goal situation, okay? And I hope that with Carry Bars International, so I'm making money already. I kind of like it, but what can I tell you? But back to the economics. Economics is somebody else working and paying you. Think about that. If you have a job or you have your own business, when you have to be there every day to work, right? And then it's a job. But if you can be there and put something in motion, like if you invest X amount of dollars in precious metals and stuff like that there, as the precious metals go up, you're making money. So now your money is making money for you. You don't have to spend the money but once. And it'll keep constantly making money as the precious metal gain in value, you know. And that's why I like the real estate, because real estate go up in value, you know. The best place now take a tip from me. The best place to start buying is in the poorest neighborhoods you can find. I got property I paid $5,000 for. I can get $80,000, $100,000 for it right now. You see what I'm saying? Because it went up in value. See what I'm saying? So that's the best way to get, if you're going to be buying a lot of property, I think the best thing to do is go into the new poor, rundown, dilapidated neighborhoods, fix them up. And in those neighborhoods, people are looking like crazy for something to rent because they're not buying anything. They don't save their money to purchase the house. They're looking for apartments like crazy, you know? And the apartments don't have to be that elaborate, but elaborate enough so they'll say, oh, man, I like this place. See what I'm saying? So you just have to be smart at what you're doing. And the 50% budget, that's what you should be on. You spend half, you save half. Your children are your journey into the future. Just remember that. Don't get to a certain point, kick your children on the side. Your children are your journey into the future. That's your physical journey. You know, your spiritual journey, well, that's a whole other story there, because we all know that once you lay that body down, you know, it ain't getting back up again. You know, unless you actually got it like Jesus, you can just, you know, make a couple of calls and get on and say, oh, man, I'm tired of this. Let me move on. But most of us don't have it like that. So, so that the physical journey into the future are your children, okay? And so you need to instruct them on how to do that. Now you say, well, you talk about the 50% budget. Where in the world did you get a 50% budget from? I got it out of the Bible. See, that's the problem. Most of us, the preachers, and they're not teaching us how to read the Bible. They teach us how to read the Bible so they can blood suck you, okay? Now, where in the world in the Bible do they talk about a 50% budget? Okay, if you go back and study the story of Joseph, right? Don't get caught up in the trap of the story. It's the moral of the story. That's what you want to tune into. Joseph went through the family, kicked the family, put him in a hole, and then they got sold into Egypt and all that. Well, that's the hype, okay? What did he do to save Egypt and his family? He told Pharaoh, spend half for 7 years, save half for 7 years. That's what saved Egypt. That's the 50% budget. They say the truth is always the truth, and it never changes. You see what I'm saying? The 50% budget was good back then, and it's good right now. Think about it for a second. How much would you have if you had saved half your money all this here time? Ah, can't calculate that in your head right quick. You'd have quite a bit of money, you know? So you got to remember, that's one thing, too. When you go into the book, into the Bible, and if anything in there is changing, then it ain't the truth. The truth never changes. The truth is the truth from day one to the end of time. It's going to always be the truth. It's like in Genesis when they tell you that fruit and seed-bearing plants are what for you to eat, right? went through thousands of years, and what are we doing? Going right back to what it says in Genesis. The truth is the truth, and it never changes. Now, when they start changing things around, if I'm saying, something's wrong with that. Because the first time they give it to you, most of the time, the first time they give you the information, it's the right information. You know what I'm saying? Then later on, they start changing things around. You don't go by that. The truth is the truth, and it's going to always be the truth. It's never going to change. If you can use it in the beginning, use it later on in the end. Oh, boy. I just can't wait again. Let me go here right quick. And I want to thank everybody for online. I appreciate you calling in. Let me know that I'm here. Let me know that I'm not here by myself, that somebody wants some of this information that I'm talking about. I just want to say, if I can, just a little bit, then that would be absolutely great. Now, I know what I do with my commercial here. So what I'm going to do, I see Brother Mac on the line here. So Brother Mac has a show that comes on Saturday. So I'm going to let him explain to you a little bit about his show. Oh, there he goes. He just put his hand up. Let him explain to you a little bit about his show while I pull up my commercial. Brother Mac, you on the line?
Good evening, Brother Elohim. I'm here. Yes, sir. Good evening, sir.
Okay, yeah, I usually have my commercial set up here, but for some reason I don't. I'm going to let you bail me out and start talking about your commercial.
Very well. What I'll do then is just piggyback on the theme that you're expounding on this evening. Economics is one of the four main topics that Legacy of a Nation talks about, and over the course of the month, Legacy of a Nation has four main topics that it covers, and the four main topics are health, history, politics, and economics. And that's for 1 hour each week, and that's from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. every Saturday. My show, as yours, is interactive in that we talk with each other, we talk about each other, we talk about ourselves, and our mission, the mission of Legacy of a Nation, is to increase the awareness of the Aboriginal community. And the definition of Aboriginal, as we use it, is we are talking about the original people of the land. We're talking about natives. We're talking about indigenous people. We're talking about Aborigines. And Legacy of a Nation contend that we, descendants of slaves, are actually natives. We are Aborigines. We are indigenous. We were in these lands of the Americas when the Europeans came. When Columbus came in 1492, we were already here. Had been forever. And war was made on us or our ancestors. And 90% of the population was wiped out. And we are descended from that 10% that was left. And so we feel very strongly that we need to know this because it puts in perspective who we are and how we got to be the way that we are. Imagine 10% being left out of a population of 100%, and 9 out of every 10 people being killed in war and disease. And that's what has happened to us as a result. We have accepted the story that we came from Africa and that in accepting that story, that means that we have no claim to this land that was taken from our ancestors here. And so we feel that we need to know what has happened to us, and we need to know who made it happen. And in so doing, we talk for an hour each week in a setting where we are talking about ourselves, we're talking amongst ourselves, and in so doing, we are increasing our awareness of who we are and how we got to be the way that we are. Again, my show is from 6 to 7 p.m., and the telephone number in the studio is 319-527-6199. And that's the number to the studio. And when you call in, we do not identify you by name. In fact, we may not even know who calls. But if you want to add to the conversation or ask a question, then we identify you by the last four numbers of your telephone number, and you let us know that you want to talk by pressing the one on your phone after you have called in. And so, thank you very much, Brother Ibrahim.
Want to give the call-in number again?
Oh, the call-in number is 319-527-6199. On the show, I'm Brother Mac. My co-host is Sun 752. And thank you, Brother Elohim, for letting me let your audience know about Legacy of a Nation. And I can say that Legacy of a Nation was born out of my dedication to you, and your having had me as your co-host on the show. And when you grew out of the show, you left it with me, and I have continued it. And I want to thank you out loud. And it's one of the greatest things that has happened to me. For I have, in the process of preparing for my show, I have grown to the extent that I can really appreciate what you were doing then and what you're doing now. And I want to thank you out loud.
And I want to thank you too, brother. And see now, if I was white, you see my cheeks being red. He's got me blushing over here. Because I ain't seen no red over here, boy. But commercial again. I'm going to get into the commercial. I did pull it up. Just the Elohim Radio Show. For those on the line, I'd like to thank you. And also remember that if you have a group or a show or anything that you're trying to do, just push one. If you want to advertise on your show or whatever, just let me know. And I'll just push one on your dial. And I open up the mic, and then you can talk about whatever you got going on as far as the show and stuff is concerned, okay? Well, this is the Elohim Radio Show here every Sunday from 8 to 9, Philadelphia time. The call-in number is 516-453-9230. Press 1 if you want to give us a shout-out, and we won't mention your name, just the last 4 digits of your phone number. Now, also, we have released a gospel CD called 911 Jesus Emergency. Jesus is coming. The CD link, a CD baby, Elohim Christ 2. That's the number 2 when you go to look for it. You can also catch us on YouTube under Elohim 10 Tracks. If you want to listen to the tracks and see what's going on, we made the first song, Jesus is coming. And, you know, if we got to know how is he coming, he's coming the same way he came before. Through the goddess's womb. That's how he's coming. So you sisters out there, be mindful of what you're dumping. The child you keep might just be the one that's going to get us out of this mess. So we need those babies. And that means that, guys, you got to step up. You know what I mean? They're not here to take care of babies by themselves. That's a two-person job, okay? And so we just want to inform you about that. And now don't forget to check out my Don't forget to check out my book, Tyrannical Scriptures Part 2, A Crisis Come, for more information on that. You can call us at TCCA, that's the Tyrannical Church of Christ and Allah, and that number is 215-977-0777. That will be from 9 to 5 if you want to get more, learn more about the book and find out what's going on. We also have it in the CD version if you want to get that. If you want, also you can download some of the shows and make copies of them and listen to them later anytime that you want, okay? I also like to give a shout out to Horace Butler. He's a historian. He wrote his books, When the Rocks Cry Out. I like him because he understands our history and helps fill in the missing pieces. Most of us don't know that we had a global empire, global, okay? And we had Olympics and every everything else that was going on. And when these people came here, we had cities here. You look, they excavated one of the cities that we had right on off the Mississippi River. The city was as large as London. So everybody wasn't here running around in no teepees when they got here. That's another lot of detail. Okay. Also, we have a legacy of another show hosted by Brother Mack, who just eloquently gave out all his information. And he's here on every Saturday from 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And he's talking about Black History, health, economics, politics, and the call in number is 319-572-6199. You can catch him on Saturday at 6 p.m. I'd like to give a shout-out to Sun752, who's on every morning at 6 a.m., and every Wednesday at 8 p.m. The call number is the same, 319-427-6188. I'd like to give my shout-out to Nikki Love. She's my spiritual advisor. She comes on every Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday at 10:30 p.m. The call number for her show is 347-215-8040. You can also get her on our website, NikkiLoveWunam.com. She's a spiritual reader. She's pretty good. I had to check. Well, we checked each other out because I do spiritual readings myself. And she's pretty good. I like her. So if you get a chance, give her a shout, especially if you're into the spiritual vibe, okay? We also have the UNIACO at 16th. This used to be Moore Avenue. So let's see. I'm at 3 p.m. Sunday. Just call Kabir at 267-513-8789. They're there every Sunday. Now, if you're not familiar with the UNIACL, that's a group started by the Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey, which was the largest black group in history ever. Ever. There was no group as large than the one he had, and the structure he had was pretty good. So if you want to know a little bit more about that on 3 o'clock, just going down to 1660 miles in Philadelphia. But they have chapters all over the country and outside of the country as well. So just a global show, we're going to mention a chapter outside of the country. So if you want to get more information about that, just call Brother Kabir at 267-513-8789. I also got the RBG Industries. They make designer clothes, buttons, and flags. So if you want a good tailor-made outfit, call RBG Industries at 609-638-5828. I would like to give a shout-out to Tom Thornton, who writes under the name of Yesterday's Child. He has an old-school style out of Philadelphia, his gospel, plus he does some regular stuff as well. He has 6 CDs on the market. Those who are familiar with the old Iron Horse days, he used to be a singer with the Iron Horse, and he plays keyboard and stuff. It's pretty good. So he's on, just go to CDs and type in Yesterday's Child. And your call, or call Thomas Thornton for more information at 267-259-4077. Also, got too many commercials here. I'd also like to give a shout out to the Heaven Bound Gospel Singers. A friend of mine, actually, he was right up the street, and I didn't know he had released the CD until he was talking about me when I was making my first CD. He told me how he got his CD on the market. And I went to see his group a couple of times. These brothers really throw down. The name is Alma called Reflections. And the call in number of Brother Patrick is 215-407-1499. And you can also catch him on YouTube too on the Heaven Bound Gospel Singers, okay? So treat yourself and go check these guys out. They're pretty good. If you want to book them for your church or something, just call that number and you'll be able to do so. I also would like to give a shout out to our resident naturopathic healers and doctors, okay? We have Dr. Paul. His number is 215-779-7355. And we have Dr. Bill, who also teaches the PASSEP class down at the Temple University. So if you want to get involved with that, you call Temple. I find out what time his classes are. His number is 631-561-3864. So if you're sick and you ain't got one of these guys' numbers on speed dial, you need to be sick. No, I don't mean that. Nobody really deserves to be sick. So just give them a call, and don't worry. Just be healthy. Okay. We're going back. Maybe I need to split that commercial up to different parts of the show. That's getting pretty long here. But, when we talk the talk, we have to walk the walk. We're supposed to support each other. That's how it works. I don't charge nobody for no commercials on the show. And if anybody want to give a commercial, want to say about their show or church or whatever it is, you know, whether just hit one when you call into the show, and then you can do the commercial or whatever, you know. And I was hoping that one of the Caribars International representatives would check in, and so they can give us a little bit more information about the Caribars, because I signed up for that myself. And I'm already making money. I got some little gold chains in my little back page thing. I checked the other day. I said, oh boy, I got money in there. You know? And I've only been in it for a month. So I think it's a good opportunity. And so if you want to find out more about that too, as far as how to go, how to make money with gold and all that, because everybody's divesting from the dollar into the gold, because you know the dollar is debt. So this is a show about economics. That's why I mentioned a couple more times here. So it's just another way to get money, you know. And with the they're doing a carrot coin things that's actually backed by gold. It's like Bitcoin, but it's not Bitcoin, but it's backed by gold, you know. And that's where we need to be going. We need to diverse our money, into different things so that we can have better economic structure. Now, I've been a thousandaire, but I've never been a millionaire. So that's my target. I want to be a millionaire, so that's where I'm going right now. And you can also set up as a family business as well, which is what I've done, okay? So now let's get back to the topic. Well, the topic is economics. I'm talking about gold, that's economics. But there's other precious metals that you can get involved in too, okay? And they have a system where you can buy a certain business thing where you can buy and sell true globally on your own, you know, once you buy into one of the packages, okay? So hopefully next week I'm going to try to get them on so that they can explain a little bit more about the Caribars International. You can go on Google and look them up as well, okay? So I did a commercial with Caribars International. So much for that. So now, Matt, do you have because I dumped you into the commercial, right? Give you a chance to comment on the topic for today. Why does your energy want to teach your children in economics? Do you have a comment on that, Matt?
Well, Brother Elohim, you made a very good observation when you made reference to the story of the eagle that was raised by chickens. And we have to be mindful that our children in public school that is funded by the government, and that the teachers are taught by the government, and so they are obligated to teach the program of the government, and the government has an obligation to maintain itself by keeping us in the dark about ourselves, and so we have to be mindful that every group, every ethnic group except one, has schools that are outside of the public school system. They have schools that they teach their children their own history and their own story. That say the Hispanics have their schools that they teach their children who they are, where they came from, who they owe alliance to. They teach them about their ancestors. The Jewish people have their folk souls. They have their schools that are after school and on and their Sunday schools, and they teach them of their slavery in Egypt. They teach them what Hitler did, and they have the slogan, "Never again." Dominicans and other groups from the Caribbean, they have ways of teaching their children about themselves. We, on the other hand, we descendants of slaves here, don't have that. And there's good reason that we don't. And we need to be aware. We need to be aware of why we don't teach our children. As a people, we don't even know of the Emancipation Proclamation, whereby a slave who reported on another slave could gain his freedom. If he reported a planned rebellion, or if he caught a runaway slave, this is a slave catching another slave, or if a slave saved the life of a European, if a slave invented a device, a work-saving device, or manufacturing device that would make his master rich, he could gain his freedom. And you can imagine, and it doesn't take a lot of imagination to see that kind of mentality over a period of time would fill us with a distrust of each other. We can't trust each other, and it goes back to slavery. It goes back to a time when, if I was a slave and I wanted to run away and I wanted you to come with me, I'd be afraid to let you know that what I was going to do, because instead of coming with me, you might report me, and you could gain your freedom because you reported me, but I would be the one who got my foot chopped off. And so this culture of distrust has been bred into us, and it has been nurtured over the decades and the centuries. And so we need to be aware that the government maintains that attitude and that culture by giving us schools that teach what the government would like for us to know in order to remain subservient and in the dark about ourselves. Thank you, Brother Elohim.
Yeah, and I'd like to expound on that just a little bit, because when your children are in the schools, well, it's also one thing I want to say, too, because it's one time I slept, one thing that I slept on because I didn't have a resource, because my sister actually had a school at one time, and I actually didn't have a resource to support her, so we need money so that we can support each other and some of the efforts that we're making to do different things, you know? And that means a lot. And in the school system, like I have a daughter right now, she's in medical school. Certain things I can't give her because I made that mistake one time with my oldest boy. I gave him so much information that he was confused, because he goes to school and they're teaching him all those lies. And you have to put the lies on paper in order to pass.
Right.
Like, you're not supposed to have discovered what do you call it? That with the apple fall on his head. That's silly. And when he got people moving blocks and biggest tractor trailers and stuff, but he all of a sudden he knows about electricity. He knows about gravity. Then you got the guy who's flying a kite. You follow what I'm saying? Now here we have a bad day doing electricity. The pyramids were producing enough electricity to power all of Egypt.
Yeah.
It's got electricity by a little kite. And you can't put down Inhotep as far as the medical papyrus and all that kind of stuff. You can't put that down because you don't.
That's right.
You don't, so they're teaching our children the lies, and the children, if we give our children the truth, See what I'm saying? It will get children get confused because they're putting the truth down on the paper and they're flunking the courses. And, everything goes back to the Greek. When you give a word, it goes back to the Greek. But the Greek didn't have no philosophy. The Greek philosophy interpretation of the Egyptian philosophy. I'm just saying this is what they've been doing. We only got about 3 minutes left. So this is what they've been doing to our children. And as I remember, it's promised to the business people that somebody will be educated to work at McDonald's and Geno's, and somebody all the way up the line, they have different levels of people to work for these different levels of jobs. And they have to make sure that the educational process has somebody there for Geno's, has somebody there for the first line architect school, first line electric school, carpentry school, stuff like that. There, I got two children. One's my twins. One's a carpenter, one's an electrician. And they coming in on a bottom level. They only want to pay them like $13-$14 an hour. They supposed to be getting $20 and $25, but they coming at the entry level, and they won't nobody let them in. They can't get in unless they accept those particular salaries. So the system is designed to keep us in the same economic structure or place that we've been in ever since George Washington and them stole the system. I want to say this. I can't say this enough. George Washington didn't write the Constitution, didn't write the Bill of Rights. President Hayes and them, they ran the Continental Congress for 8 years. They wrote all that stuff. And when I go to look up on President Hayes and them, guess what it says? Information is missing. I can't find no information on President Hayes and them, you know?
Yes, sir.
About 1 minute, if you want to make a little quick comment at that, Patrick, you can go ahead. Matt.
Yes, Brother Elohim, I think that you will agree that it is extremely important for we parents and grandparents to understand what has been done to us and why and who did it, so that now you have two sons, both of whom have building trade skills. It's incumbent upon you to indoctrinate those young men to be in business for themselves, to have their own construction company, to have their own rehabilitation company, to have their own building company, so that they can determine what their salary is going to be.
Well, we got about 30 seconds left, so okay, for that. But you're right, and I made their business cards up for them, flyers and all that stuff, so they are taking their jobs on the side and all that, so they don't be in there. But also, they're on a 50% budget on the way to purchasing real estate. So, yeah, you're right. We as parents have to push our children in a direction that's going to benefit them so that they don't have to be enslaved to the job So we only got about 21 seconds left. With that, like I say, this is our Brother Elohim. We're Sunday at 9 o'clock. Those that called in, I want to thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate you calling in. Let me know that you're on the air, and let me know that somebody's listening out there to what's going on. But we need resources. And with that, I'd like to say peace. I love you, and I'll talk to you again next Sunday. Much love.
Much love, Brother William. Be well.